Welcome to Pluralsight's Meet the Author podcast, where every week we have the opportunity to chat with our authors about their latest course releases and get a behind-the-scenes commentary on current technology. This is all brought to you by Pluralsight, hardcore developer training.
Hello, this is Mike Woodring, and I'm speaking with Andreas Oland about his course, Introduction to End Service Bus. Andreas Oland is an enterprise development expert, speaker, and trainer specializing in message-based solutions. He is also one of the lead developers of the End Service Bus open source framework. Hello, Andreas. It's good to have you with us today.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you for having me.
So to start, can you explain what End Service Bus is for our listeners who don't already know?
Well, that's always the big problem with service buses, because getting people to agree what a service is, that seems to be an unsolvable problem in the IT industry. But we're essentially a communication framework. The key thing with the service bus is that we do all communication for you on top of messaging. So we run on top of queuing systems like MSMQ and Azure queues and ActiveMQ and things like that. So we get the benefits or the robustness of messaging. And on top of that, we give you a very nice and clean API. Looking at the features we have, one of the main features is that we really focus on reliability. We make very sure that any data you give to us, there is no way you can actually lose it by machines crashing or, you know, bad things happening in production. And, you know, more for designing your systems, we have a very thorough support for the publish and subscribe pattern. So that's probably the killer feature of a service bus. That's the pub-sub communication pattern.
So how did you get into queuing systems and service buses?
Well, yeah, that's actually a quite funny story. When I kind of got started with IT back in, can't remember now, it was a long time. I think it was 2002 something. We built this big insurance system, and you know, we built it according to all the best practices in the industry. You know, service oriented, meaning for us at that point that we had web services everywhere. Of course, that got us into kind of a mess when it came to, you know, transaction support and things like that. You know, when our system didn't behave in production, we lost data and we couldn't roll back, and you know, we had to pretty much redesign the whole system. So what we did there was kind of built what we call the out basket, just a table in a SQL Server. So before we actually called all those web services, we actually stored a row in SQL Server, so kind of to get the transactionality of the database to help us out. And we were really proud and worked super good, and we got all worked up and was planning to do we were going to write for the big computer magazine in Sweden, telling the world, you know, this new great thing we came up with this outbasket thing. And I can remember the day still today when one of those old mainframe programmers came up to us and said, guys, isn't that a queuing system you just have built? And we kind of started investigating. It turned out that Windows, which we were developing on, actually had a queuing system built into it, and it was called MSMQ. So we didn't write that article, and you know, but that's what got me into queuing systems. And then soon after that, I realized what a bad API MSMQ have, and you know, that led me into End Service Bus. So I started to contribute, and you know, here I am today. So it's been a nice trip.
Well, that's a great story. So, you know, throughout your course, you walk the viewer through the evolution of what you call the bus stop application, and you use it to explore various features of End Service Bus. Can you tell us a little bit about how you use this example to explore the various End Service Bus facilities?
Yeah, I mean, when I signed up for the course, I really had the goal to try to do it, you know, using a real life example. And that's always hard, because it's hard to do courses, or, you know, because you have to make up a business problem. But I kind of thought that we could do almost like a pet shop demo, how we kind of sell people, sell stuff on the internet, and you know, we charge for it and you know, build from that. So that made me come up with a name, Bus Stop, which is probably not the most, you know, the best name in the world. But hey, you know, I'm a developer, I'm not a marketing guy, so yeah. So I kind of use that as a sample to walk the user through how you start off building your site using the more traditional patterns, you know, the three three-layered solutions, things like that, and we kind of see where that breaks down and where you could start using messaging. So we kind of gently introduced one-way messaging into the solution, and we move on and see how we can build on top of that one-way messaging pattern to actually do more full duplex request-response style communication. So I kind of try to evolve the system, walking the user through, where you should put messaging, and perhaps more importantly, in which areas you shouldn't be using messaging and then service bus at all. And then we wrap up with seeing how we can actually use PubSub, which is the Rolls Royce of messaging, really, the most decoupled form of communication, how we can use that to start splitting our application up into distinct services like, billing, shipping, sales, things like that. And then, use the PubSub pattern to make those autonomous services communicate with each other. So that's the outline. So we kind of start off with basic one-way messaging and end up with, publish and subscribe there at the end.
Great. So were there any important pieces of in-service bus that you had to leave out of the course?
Yeah, I mean, that's really the hard part. It is kind of a big framework. I think I kind of covered the basics well, but one big area we couldn't talk about, we just didn't have time, was the use of a thing called Sagas, which is a way to model long-running workflows. There are many implementations out there, and Service Bus has one implementation of the Saga pattern where you use messages to kind of, define the data that goes across, and then you implement kind of the state machine in C#. So essentially, Sagas is a message-driven state machine. So in Service Bus, will take care of storing the state for you. So the only thing you need to worry about is writing that C# class that kind of becomes the state machine. So it's a very, very powerful concept, and you really need pretty much a 3-4 hour course to cover that. So I actually have plans to make a separate course just covering the Sagas.
And are there any new features coming up in the next version of in-service bus?
Yeah, I mean, we have a 4.0 plan, so hopefully sometime around and after Christmas. That's, that's a rough timeline now. We're doing some minor improvements, but the big thing really for 4.0 is that we're gonna add support for running without distributed transactions. One of the core thing within Service Bus today is that we do use distributed transactions to make sure we're not losing data for you. So we synchronize the queuing system and the databases using a distributed transaction. And, that's good. You lose some performance, but, there is a lot of code you don't have to write, so everything is good. But, given that there are, the interest for running on alternate platforms like Windows Azure, Amazon, things like that, and using queuing systems like RabbitMQ, which doesn't support distributed transactions, kind of mean that we wanna give those users and Service Bus and still give you the same transactional guarantees, but without relying on the DTC. So we're actually gonna add support for you to run with the same transactional exactly once guarantees, but without using the DTC. So that's gonna be some tricky code, but we're pretty confident that we can pull it off. And that, of course, enables you to run and Service Bus full out on both Windows Azure, App Harbor, and other alternate platforms that are a little bit more limited in what kind of infrastructure you can run on them. So that's the main big feature of and Service Bus 4.0.
Great. And can you tell us a little bit about what you're planning to work on next?
In terms of in Service Bus development, that's always things going on there. But in terms of training, I'm actually going to, I already start planning doing a Saga Pluralsight course. So that's the next course I'll do, hopefully 2.5-3 hour course, going through the basic Saga pattern, which is an old pattern from the 80s. And then, walking the user through, where can you use Sagas, where shouldn't be using Sagas, and then, dive into the details on how you implement that in a Service Bus, but also importantly how you actually get that to run reliably in production, how you version your Sagas and things like that. So that's probably going to be a big undertaking, but I'm really looking forward to doing that because Sagas is really the secret sauce of a Service Bus.
Well, that's excellent. We're looking forward to that as well. Well, thank you very much, Andreas. We're very excited to see your much anticipated course make its debut on Pluralsight.
Yeah, thank you. And, you know, thanks for having me. It's been a blast, you know, listening to your own voice for 40 hours. You know, that's going to require a lot of therapy to, you know, get back on track. But it was fun.
This is Andreas Olin's new course, Introduction and Service Bus. Thanks again, Andreas.
Thanks for listening. This course is available as part of our online training library, packed with courses on the latest technology. To view this course or any of our other videos, visit Pluralsight.com. There you can sign up for a subscription to meet your training needs or open a free trial account to get started. Hardcore developer training starts now at Pluralsight.com.